To be a Patriots fan in Philly when the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. I feel you.
I mean, the city erupted. The ground was shaking. It was intense. And I don't know if you've seen any of those videos, but they burned the city to the ground.
Yes, and I want to be like, listen, Philly fans, I understand that, you know, this is new for you, and so you may not know how to act accordingly.
Act like we've been there before.
I understand that you don't know how to act accordingly, but this is not what you do. You don't destroy your own city, the city that, you know, it's not what you do. Now, if they had lost and they acted and they did that, that would make more sense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's insane. Did you see there was a dude that ate the horse poop?
No, thank God I didn't see that.
Dude hanging from a traffic light. Dude hanging on the gates of City Hall. This is dangerous stuff. I have no idea. And they greased those poles so that people wouldn't do this.
The starting fires and the vandalism is what gets me.
They broke into the Macy's.
Yeah, like, why?
Because we won!
Because you won. That's to celebrate. Let's celebrate by defacing our city.
Let's destroy it.
That shit doesn't make any damn sense to me.
It was insane.
You're supposed to be happy. Why are you destroying shit if you're happy?
Like,
I'm
honestly
happy that they're happy. As a Patriots fan, you know, they haven't had it before. They've never won.
Right.
You know what? Let them be happy. And
there's no better team to beat than the Patriots.
Right, exactly. Let them have it. Well, that's fine. Do I agree with all the calls in that game? Absolutely not. But
right.
Neither here nor there, the Patriots did not play to their full potential. Half the fucking team did not show up to the game, if you ask me. Like, they were there, they were physically there, but
I think
defense was just not there. But that's,
I think they thought it was going to be easier than it was, yeah.
We got cocky. I don't know. Our defense just was not fucking there. And also Bill Belichick with Bench and Butler was just like the stupidest mistake ever.
Over some marijuana.
Yeah, like this, you don't pick the Super Bowl to get your sixth ring to fucking prove a lesson to somebody, teach somebody a lesson.
And you know, people are, like I said, people are, like, going crazy to burn the city to the ground. They're basically destroying the place. And people, you know, before, they were like, oh, you know something? The Eagles deserve to win after all this time. And then you see the fans destroying the city when they win, and you're like, but did they, though?
Well, no, it doesn't make the Eagles look very good, you know, does it?
Right. Like, nobody wants to bring their Super Bowl here. So, big news. Big news, Kelly D with an IE. It's big news this week in wrestling. Everybody's favorite wrestler, Jason Jordan, is out indefinitely with a neck injury. Like, it is done and done. They said that the rumor is, allegedly, that it's kind of similar to Benoit, to Edge, to Daniel Bryan.
Really?
That it's very, very serious. And
wow.
He might, I mean, this as quick as he showed up, it may just be over that quickly.
Wow. Okay, so I don't wish ill, not ill in that way on anybody, because, you know what I mean, he's a human being, and when it comes down to it, And, you know, that is what he wanted to do, and that's his career, and I don't wish that that would come down to anything. You know, so I do, wow, I hope not, you know, because obviously, you know, you don't wish that on anybody.
No.
You know, I hope this is something that maybe they can, like, Nikki Bella, you can go get some surgery and take a year off, and maybe you get a break from him, and he can come back, and they can rewrite him, you know, I don't know.
You know what I find interesting is that in this time, like Daniel Bryan, he was working for years, and you can kind of say that years of wrestling did this to his body, but Jason Jordan, Paige, Edge, you know, they came up in a lot of the era where, like, the pile driver was forbidden, you know, where, you know, they started working the pile driver out in, like, the early 2000s, you know, and for the reason of neck injury and stuff like that. And now you're finding, like, Sheamus, he has a neck injury. I don't know how he's still working. I realize that he's not taking as many bumps as anybody else when he's working in these matches, but he's got an injury, a neck injury. Daniel Bryan, Ed, like, the list goes on and on and on, and it's piling up. Like, what is the point of banning these moves if these superstars are going to get these serious, serious neck injuries that are cutting these careers short and saying that, oh, we're going to, like, Corey Graves is retired and he's only, like, 29, and Paige is retired and she's 22 or 23?
She's extremely. Did we get a definite that she's never going to wrestle again?
Yeah, that was confirmed on Lillian Garcia's podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I just think it's crazy, man. I don't know what's going on to these people. and if there's nothing to be done, then we should just go ahead and bring the pile driver back. Because only, you know, yeah, I did took out Stone Cold, but it didn't really take out anybody else. So I think we're all right.
Yeah.
I like the pile driver. I think it's a really good move for wrestling, you know. It's like a good classic.
Yeah, and the only two people who are really allowed to use it are old.
Right. With the king.
Maybe you shouldn't be doing it anymore.
I would let Mick Foley use it. Mick Foley could still use it. He always did a safe one. He's very safe.
I'm thinking more of body mechanics, where as they're older, and yes, they know how to do it safely to their opponent, but I'm wondering if their body, because their body is so old and has been through so much, whether or not their body will allow them to do it safely.
All right, so just imagine the new age of pile driver. Imagine Braun Strowman doing a pile driver to anybody.
Right, right, yeah.
That would look devastating.
That would be, yes, absolutely. And if they make the ring somehow... you know when he, whatchamacallit, when he power slammed Kane through the ring?
Oh, yeah.
They do that when he does a pile driver.
Oh, my God. And he goes through the ring?
Head first goes
amazing.
Through the ring like that. You know, they make the ring give way right underneath where it's going to
right,
go,
and then he gets
up, right.
And then Braun stands up out of the hole, and he goes, Braun! And it'd be great.
Yes!
All right, so let's hop into this Blue Zone and talk about this SmackDown.
Welcome to SmackDown Live!
So this is where the big boys play, huh?
This is my show! My show!
It is your boy, the Prodigal One, JB, here.
Let's go ahead and get into this Blue Zone.
Fame Black on Snapchat doing this.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, it's me. It's Misery.
I am the elite! I am the greatest! I am the phenomenal
Wrestling World Podcast Network.
So, you know, they open up the show as they often do. Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon, AJ Styles. You know, hey, I think you're siding with them. No, I think you're siding with them. Blah, 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 blah. But the main point, more tension between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, which we've talked about at length. But Sami Zayn is going to take on Kevin Owens, and the winner is going to take on AJ Styles for the WWE title later tonight. And they announced this last week, and I got to say, I was really interested in seeing where it was going to go. That was the only thing I was really interested in the whole storyline. But okay. they got a long way to go to WrestleMania. And what do you think they're going to do to hold on to the storyline's essence, if there is any left?
That's your question right there, is if there is any left. I think that I even think that this feud with, you know, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon is just, it's so played out already, in my eyes anyway. I'm like, okay, yes, we get it. Like, do something, you know, do something with it now. Can we, you know what I mean? Like, he just comes out and says the same thing. I don't agree with him, but I still respect him. He's still my general manager. You know, he's still the general manager, and I respect him. But, you know, I don't agree with what he's doing.
Right.
They're okay, like, so you keep saying the same thing over and over again. Do something. Like, you're his boss. And, like, and now if you want to be in kayfabe or whatever, if you want to put that, like, if that was in real-life situation, okay, where I'm a manager and I've got, like, say, a district manager, I got the CEO of a company or whatnot that's over me, and it's like, listen, I respect you as a person. You're a hard worker, you know, you whatever, but I don't agree with what you're doing, and that they keep saying that to me. Eventually they're going to – there's going to be some kind of repercussions for me.
Right. Like, hey, you need to stop doing what we don't want you to do.
Right. So, I mean, like, are we going to start – when are we going to start? Maybe – it's a good story. I just wondering if maybe they started telling it too soon.
I was thinking the same thing, because if the culmination is WrestleMania, and if the culmination is a match, even if it's not Daniel Bryan wrestling, if he has a representative wrestle Shane McMahon for, you know, brand superiority or whatever the situation, should they have started? I mean, this has started since, what's like, Survivor Series?
Exactly.
This has been a very long, drawn-out bit. And
right,
I don't know if the payoff is going to feel as good if they're going to wait all the way to WrestleMania. We're still, you know, people say, oh, WrestleMania is WrestleMania season. We're still like 60 days away from WrestleMania. That's a long time. That's like 2 months.
Exactly. Exactly.
Time.
I just think that it was started too soon, because it's just not, you know. But I feel like they do that often.
You're right.
You know, I don't know if they just, you know, they get excited with the idea, or they just... I don't know, but I feel like they do that often, and then they just drag it out, and like you said, the payoff doesn't seem, you know, we're over it by the time,
way
you know.
Over it. I mean, unless Daniel Bryan is wrestling, that's the only payoff that everybody would be like, all right, that was worth waiting for, and you
right.
know, that's the only one, that's the only surprises they can pull. But I've been stated before on many podcasts that I would not like to see his comeback be wasted on Shane McMahon, but
correct. Yeah.
Let's talk about AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, because later on Kevin Owens took on Sami Zayn, number one contendership on the line. They ended up drawing after what I thought was a pretty good match. I was really interested. I like the story that they tell about how Kevin Owens came into WWE and he immediately succeeded. And he, you know, was pushed past Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn has never held any championship gold except for the NXT title for like 16 seconds before he gave it up to Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens has taken a lot of belts, and he's taken a lot of screen time. And, you know, I think they had a really good match together. It just shows how good they can be. And before you had to find them a winner, AJ Styles gets involved. He punches both of them. It's a double disqualification. And Daniel Bryan, who everybody assumes is on their side, says, hey, man, you know what? Triple threat match. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles. And I feel like we've seen this all before. What was your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts on it was the match itself, I don't know. I just feel like it was... I don't know, the match itself, I think, lacked something.
Yeah.
And then when I saw, this is, they swerved me, this is not what I thought. Like, at first I honestly had no expectations of it going either way. I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't try to predict how it was going to happen.
I thought Sami Zayn going in.
I didn't try and, like, read that much into it. I said, let's just see where it goes. And then when Sami Zayn, you know, went over to AJ on the side, over by commentator, the commentator's desk, and it almost looked like he was definitely egging him on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come at me, like seriously, come hit me. And I'm thinking to myself, and then when he did and they rang the bell, I said, okay, this is Sammy's way of winning, because now Sammy would win by disqualification.
Okay. Oh, clever.
So I'm going, so Sammy's outsmarting KO.
Right. Didn't have to
by
beat him.
Now, so now Sammy wins the match because he instigated AJ to put his hands on him, and so now he wins by disqualification.
Okay, yeah, that's real clever.
And
I thought that
maybe he was trying to, like, okay, oh, so he's going to try and outwit him.
Right.
Since he can't outpower him.
Right.
And that's what I thought that they were going with.
That was a good, that's a good idea. That would have been really cool if they went with that. Would have been really different and innovative.
But
yeah, when they announced that it was a triple threat,
I just was like, all my, any little bit of excitement I had for this match went out the window.
Really? This doesn't excite
now,
you?
No, because I'm tired of it already. I really am. I'm tired of it already. I love AJ Styles, and I love Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn, to me, he's still the resident, you know.
He's a loser and a bitch.
Loser and a bitch, you know. He's still, I don't know. I don't, I think, I don't know. I heard him on a podcast once with Chris Jericho and Seth Rollins talking about their favorite, like, rock and roll moments and stuff like that growing up, and, like, different concerts that they went to and stuff like that as kids, and just all about rock and roll and stuff. And Sammy had made a couple of comments about fans and fans approaching him and stuff like that, and he was very, I just didn't like the way he came off about it towards
okay.
it. Like just fans in general just annoy him. And that kind of just gave me a sour taste in my mouth for Sammy. And I know that, yes, he's great in work, in-ring performer.
Right.
You know, he's definitely, you know, I mean, he knows what he's doing, and he's a good worker. But I just think that hearing that on the podcast left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, I just have this kind of formed opinion of him in the back of my mind, which I know is wrong. Not necessarily fair to the product. You know what I mean? Because, that's just the way I feel.
Oh, yeah, but that's fine.
So, you know,
well,
them going, okay, now it's going to be a triple threat.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it still means that, yeah, whereas before Sammy and Kevin were the team against AJ, now it's every man for himself.
Right.
Eh.
I mean,
and now we're going to wait. When is Fastlane?
March 10th or something.
Oh, my gosh. It's over 30 days away.
That's what I'm saying.
What are they going to do to hold our interest?
It's a long ways away. I have no idea. I don't know how far you can carry this. I mean, you can keep building up the tension between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It reminds me a lot of when DX and John Cena, Shawn Michaels and Triple H and John Cena were in a triple threat match for the WWE title. And, you know, right in the beginning, the very first, as soon as the bell rang, Shawn super kicks Triple H. And, like, the whole time they had been talking about working together, they were like, oh, you know, it's actually a 66% chance that DX walks away with the belt. You know, they were very, they kept asking them, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight Shawn Michaels? They were like, well, it's a very good chance that we're both going to fight John Cena. Like, they were very, you know, they hid the whole thing. And then right when the match started, Shawn super kicked Triple H and let you know, like, all right, no, we're serious. But this, you've already seen them contact, you've already seen them fight, you've already seen them have tension. So I think a cool thing would be them working together, you know, and really taking AJ out of it. And AJ is really going to walk away with this one with a steal, because he's got to, right? And he's got to go to WrestleMania as the champion, right? Otherwise, it's not going to be as good. Like, Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke, while probably amazing in the ring, is not as good as AJ Styles and Nakamura, right?
No, but the other thing that was going through my mind is, and I hope the hell that they don't do it. Whereas I'd like to see this particular fight go, this particular thing, I'm thinking to myself, do they have him drop it to somebody else? And, or in the meantime, maybe not WrestleMania, but maybe in between then, they can throw in a feud between AJ and Debray.
Really? Before WrestleMania? Well,
maybe.
I mean, this storyline could go
that
way.
That also is another WrestleMania, because those two in the ring together would be, that's also another dream match on paper. You know what I mean? Like that's just another dream match. And which one do you want to see more? I mean, we all know how great Shinsuke and AJ together are. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, casual fans might not, but...
Right. We've seen it very recently. Instead of Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon, yeah, I would like to see... I would like to see Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles, absolutely.
Right, and I could just see them, you know, doing something like that. Like, okay, you know, him being like, you know what? You're screwing me left and right, buddy.
Right,
What the hell is wrong?
It's actually your fault.
Right, exactly. Like, what the fuck? I expect them to act like this. That's who they are, but what are you doing?
If they did that, they would need to deliver AJ versus Nakamura at SummerSlam. Because those fans do
yes.
not want to wait.
Right.
I heard an interesting theory on the last Blue Zone pitched by Chris from Randy Audio Wrestling said it's going to be, you know, just to keep everybody safe as a back burner thing, it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Hmm.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, because that would have to be, at some point, Daniel Bryan would have to be, you know, say to them and not always be on their side anymore and be so, you know what I mean? Like, Daniel Bryan would have to be siding with Shane at some point, right?
Right. There would be they crossed the line.
They have to write a story about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
Why would they
want to
fight Daniel Bryan? Right now, they love Daniel Bryan. Why would they want to fight him?
Right. You know, Daniel Bryan could shut down the Yup movement, and they'd be like, "You're just like the Authority now." And Daniel Bryan turns heel, Team Cammy turn face.
Oh, I don't see that happening.
I mean, that's a stretch, but you know, I was just speculating on what could happen. You know what I think is weird? Is these new this new form of promo where everybody's like on their phone, and not only are they on their phone, but they have like sing along words with the cool things that they say popping up.
I hate it.
So that you know that they checked in that script way before the show started.
I freaking hate it.
Ooh.
The thing on the phones depends on who's doing it, to be honest with you. Like, for instance, last night, John Cena did one. And looking at him, and he was walking down a hallway, he got so far, and then started walking backwards. Got so far and then started walking frontwards again. I was getting dizzy because, and it wasn't even focusing and on him, and just the camera just looking at it, I just started getting dizzy, like watching it. And I'm like, this is horribly done. So, and some of them, if they're just sitting still, you know, like the mixed tag, I can see, I like it for that because it's more of a social media that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because
it's on Facebook Watch.
Right. So it's being aired on social media, and let's do the FaceTime type thing or like recording from your phone. That I think makes sense to go with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, for all the promos, I don't know. Is that their way of cutting back on cameramen? I don't understand.
I'm saying they are cutting the budget. They are cutting the cameramen. They're cutting Charlie Caruso. They're cutting Renee Young. No need
right.
to get interviewed in the back anymore because you got your phone.
Right. It's just like, and the little words that come up,
The words are what kill me. The words I don't like. The words are like, what kind of sing along nonsense is this?
Exactly. That's just, and it looks so generically done, like,
right,
like low budget.
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching like an old video game. I feel like I'm playing the video game. Like, it's the video game. It's the most awesome version of the video game. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. I can't.
I noticed it when I'm watching Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. And they're doing, and he's like, tag team domination. And it's like, tag and team is in blue. And then domination is written real big and like cracked letters. And I'm like, yo, this is corny.
Yes, it's not. And then my OCD kicks in when I see these things, because I'm looking at them and they're not centered correctly. Some words a bit like I'm just like, it's not symmetrical. I'm like, my OCD kicks into overdrive, and that's just me driving myself crazy over it. But I'm like, okay, you know, I'm so glad that this, I don't know if you want to use this, this week's Usos, you know, their promo, in-ring promo that they cut. I'm so glad that they didn't add all of what they add to last week.
Yeah.
That just, I think, killed their promo. That was a little too much over the top. And I'm so glad that they do that this week. But I just think, yeah, it just looks very cheaply done or rushly done, like they threw it together really quickly. And
speaking of thrown together very quickly, Naomi and Mandy Rose, a.k.a. Alexa Bliss 2.
2.0, yeah.
Yeah, man, this women's division is, like, suffering a little bit, I feel. I don't know what's happening. Like, it's very, very slow paced. Like, I don't know what story they're trying to tell. Like, who's the number one contender right now?
That's a good question.
You don't know. Right. And we were all hyped for the Rumble and 40 Women Royal Rumble, but in the midst of all this hype, we forgot to tell the story. Like, yeah, the Riot Squad is here, and they're supposed to be against the rest of the roster, but it's like, what are they doing besides being in matches? Are they still beating up people backstage? Like, are they still badasses? Did they forget? Like, were they supposed to link up with Paige? Like, what is happening?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like, well, WWE is known to do this. They bring up talent from NXT, and they don't know what to do with them.
But there's so much potential. You have so many new characters. You have a whole new story. Who is, for the start with the basics, who is the number one contender?
They don't know. They don't know. I really don't think that they have a freaking clue. They're just,
like,
winging it, maybe. I honestly, sometimes I think that they don't even know what they're doing half the time. They're like, oh, we're not sure.
Like, okay, let's make it very simple for everyone here. Like, if the Riot Squad is the new squad, and they are supposed to be coming through and being badasses, then the leader, Ruby Riot, should win some sort of number one contenders match to be the number one contender. She doesn't have to be the champion. She just has to take on Charlotte and whoop her ass. Whoop her ass, beat her down, make it look like she's about to win the title. Charlotte can win. That's cool. Or she can try to cheat and get caught. You know, she can get disqualified. She can get counted out. She doesn't have to lose. She doesn't have to get pinned. You know, and you just established who is doing what. They're badasses. They're trying to win the title and control the division. Charlotte is the good person trying to, you know, shield her title from everyone and defend it and be honorable and all that other bullshit. But who is the number one contender? We just need to figure that out.
I don't know. And I'm not so sure that they – I feel like they just threw together the Riot Squad.
Right.
And that's all they did, because, yes, except for the with the exception of the name, Riot Squad, I honestly couldn't, it doesn't look like, you wouldn't know, at least me anyway, if it wasn't for the name, the Riot Squad, I wouldn't know that Ruby Riot is the leader of them all.
Right.
Because, I mean, at least with Paige, Paige over on Raw, she kind of, she stood out as a leader.
Yeah.
she made it known that, like, I'm leading these, you know what I mean? These girls, they're with me, and I'm showing them, you know what I mean? And Ruby Riott's really not. She's what? I think I've heard her cut one promo since she's done the main roster.
No, Ruby Riott can cut a promo. She's been talking some shit.
Yeah, but it's not for... Only one really stood out where it was her standing up for, like, she's not speaking for the group, per se, and she's not, like...
Yeah, she's just insulting the other women. She's not saying, like, we're here to do this, and, like, yeah, she's not being a leader of this group.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see her, like, taking the lead with a lot of things either. Like, you know, I just don't... Like I said, if it wasn't for the name, I wouldn't know who was the leader.
I think they try to make it so that there was no leader, and there's supposed to be three girls that are supposed to run the division, but if so, they got to get to the top of the division, and they better clear this up by Fastlane. Well, you know, they have, you know what? I'll give them until Rusev Day to clear this up. Rusev failed to win the U.S. title tonight from Bobby Roode. Or as I call him, Robert Wonderful. So Rusev is over like gangbusters. This whole crowd has been chanting Rusev Day, and they won't even give him the U.S. title. And for what? And for why? I was thrilled. I thought he was going to win until he fell victim to the DDT. What can they do with Rusev? What will they do with Rusev? Because they can't just keep having him lose like this. They got to take the advantage of this opportunity. He's over like gangbusters.
I have to disagree.
No.
Well, yeah, no. I'm glad that he didn't win it.
Really? Okay, tell me more.
Just because I'm a Bobby Roode fan.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, he's better as a heel. But I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's the blue eyes. I don't know. Maybe it's because of I just know the potential that he has and his character. Like he can't wait for him to turn heel because he's just an amazing heel. And I think he's just a very good up and coming, you know? And I just didn't want to see it end that quickly. I'm not saying that Rusev doesn't deserve
a
U.S.
saying.
Title. I'm just saying maybe not so quickly. Maybe if we can build more of a story between the two of them.
Well, what I was thinking when I said I think that Rusev should win it is that The Miz seems to be in it. Like, The Miz seems like he's going to take this Intercontinental title to WrestleMania. And if so, then he should probably defend it in like a one-on-one or like a triple threat situation. And that leaves free a ladder match because, you know, they always have a ladder match. And I thought, like, maybe they should let the Cruiserweights do a ladder match, but apparently they're going to do this big, you know, the tournament for the championship is going to end at WrestleMania. So they should just do a U.S. title multi-man ladder match. And that's why they're going to play hot potato with it for a little bit. Put it on Rusev, have that Baron Corbin come back into the conversation, say, hey, man, I want the U.S. title. Dolph Ziggler, hey, man, I want the U.S. title. You know what I mean? So, obviously,
who?
Randy Orton.
Yes, that's the other thing, too.
Because Randy Orton just comes out of nowhere, pardon the pun.
Yep.
But he is, like, that seems to be his new gimmick. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to I don't work here. Like, I don't wrestle. I just show up and RKO everybody.
They are
beautiful RKO. I mean, right. I really, like, pop for it. Like, I pop for when he showed up and RKO'd Shinsuke Nakamura in the middle of that match the other week. And he just shows up, RKO's Bobby Roode, RKO's Rusev, RKO's Aiden English, all, like, and then he just leaves. Like, you don't even know what he wants.
I like that, though.
I think, like, he should, like, I would love that on both shows. Any segment that's not going well, male or female, You're getting a lot of boos. Randy Orton should just show us.
You want him to fight RKO and the women too?
Nobody should be exempt. Remember, all right, you know old cartoons when they're like on stage and they're like bombing and they're like boo and they're throwing tomatoes and shit, and then that hook comes around and it pulls them off the stage, and it, you know that.
Yes.
The new age hook is Randy Orton. Randy Orton comes around whenever shit is not going well. Randy Orton will come and RKO the situation, killing it dead.
Yeah. Okay.
This is my new thing.
I don't know how well that'll go over with, you know, him doing it to females.
Listen, it's gonna take some catching on, but don't act like the WWE crowd is not that far removed. Like, we acting all high and mighty in advance now, as if we always liked superior women's wrestling. But they were these are the same people that were cheering bra and panties matches. You know what I mean? So Randy Orton RKO and women is not the same as Stone Cold hitting Lita with a chair. I will say the RKO is fairly harmless.
Yeah.
It's just a front bump. It's gotta be if he starts RKO and women by RKO and Stephanie McMahon in the middle of a heel promo, it'll get over.
Oh, now that would be beautiful. That would be beautiful.
But I think Randy Orton should go for hire and just start doing this in his normal day life. Like, you're going through like an awkward breakup. You know, but I love you and all that. And then Randy Orton just goes, bow, RKO, kill it dead. I think I'm going to call him. I'm going to pitch that to him. I'm going to tweet it to him.
There you go.
But he can also be in this U.S. title multi-man ladder match at WrestleMania. No?
Yeah, I'm just trying. I think that, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. Like, I mean, I was actually... Okay, so this top 10 superstars.
I'm surprised Naomi was ranked so high. She was number 4.
I'm surprised that, like, Randy Orton was on the list and not Rusev.
Right. Is this a real list or is this a rigged list?
This is obviously a rigged list. This cannot be.
This is what we're going to do. Anybody who comes onto the Blue Zone, and as a matter of fact, I might even take a poll from outside, from Red Zone correspondents, from PW Hustle correspondents, from Hacker Hameen Media discussion correspondents. I want your top 10 from SmackDown. Send them to me at Fame Black on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, at Fame Black. Your SmackDown top 10. We're going to start doing that every week on the Blue Zone. Just to see how our lists stack up to the WWE's list. And see, because there's a lot of potential in that storyline.
All right. I'll get that to you.
We're going to start doing that every week. And I want to put the Bludgeon Brothers on it, but I need them to stop beating just regular jobbers. I need them to start taking on some tag teams, some real tag teams.
Right. I thought for a second, you know, I got excited with the Usos coming out, and I thought there was going to be something there, but nope.
I'm surprised. You know
it's
what?
Stare down, you know.
I was surprised they didn't have them do anything against the New Day when all you have to do, apparently, with them is ask them questions. Ask the New Day segment.
Did you ask them anything?
I asked them, where do you get that shirt? Xavier Woods had a brilliant shirt on. It says Burr 1800, and it's like a presidential shirt, and it's from Hamilton. And Aaron Burr runs for president in 1800, which is true. It's a fact. And I just thought it was a brilliant t-shirt, and I wanted to know where he got it. And he still hasn't answered me back, so thanks, Xavier Woods. Thanks,
wow.
Dr. Woods.
Dr. Woods, yeah.
That's why I've seen you have sex. How about that? How about those apples? But you know something, overall, I thought that SmackDown was good. I thought it was better than it has been in recent weeks. I didn't feel like I was dragging through like I normally do. I didn't feel like falling asleep. I didn't feel like watching something else. In fact, my TV's still on USA because I'm watching Todd Chrisley and his family bowl.
Me as well. Nanny Faye, yes.
Nanny Faye is one of the funniest characters in all of television. I wish that she was like the general manager of Raw or SmackDown.
Could you imagine?
I could not imagine. I think that like all the USA crossovers that they pulled, I can't believe like it didn't last. They didn't use the Chrisley family on WWE TV more often. They could have been, they had some real potential there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Like, well, at least maybe the family as a stand-in, you know, a guest manager for the, you know.
You got to give them more than a night, though. You got to give them, like, guest manager for, like, a month and give them time to build up rivalries. Could you imagine Todd Chrisley versus Chris Jericho in some sort of promo off, like, or some sort of scarf off?
A scarf off, that's great. Scarf on a pole match.
And like, right, and it's just yeah, and you can imagine Todd getting himself into some sort of actual physical match with somebody. Like, it's funny, and it would totally play on TV, even if you don't know or like Todd. Or any of those families. Nanny Faye, like I said, she should be the general manager. She should have been calling the Women's Rumble. I would pay good money to see Nanny Faye do just about anything in the WWE. She could play that Mae Young role.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. You just took the words right out of my mouth. Wake up in bed
with Titus O'Neil.
Oh, Titus O'Neil, no. She got Titus Worldwide newest.
She's gonna wake up in bed. Wait, she's gonna wake up in bed, and to the right will be Titus O'Neil, and to the left will be Apollo Crews, and then like. And they'll be in bed with the sheet over them, right? And they're like, oh, man, what do we do, right? And then out from under the sheet, Daniel Brooke will come up and be like, I've crunched the numbers. That's messed up. How did you feel about SmackDown overall? Did you feel it was better from last week?
Yes, but not by much.
Yeah.
You know, by not, because I just feel like the same things are just dragging on.
Do you feel like maybe you got some, like, you know, let's get to Mania, like, let's, come on, we got to get there, because you know it's coming. Like, the anticipation is high. You know that The Undertaker is going to be there. You know that Shinsuke Nakamura is probably going to take on AJ Styles. Like, do you feel just like a rush for time?
Yes and no. I want more build, you know, and I understand that they have to get through Fastlane, and I kind of have more of a rush to get through Fastlane because I have zero interest in Fastlane at this point in time. As it stands right now, I have zero interest even watching that. Elimination Chamber, yes, I have an interest in watching that. Fastlane, I don't know. I just have, at this point in time, with, you know, the way they've, you know, booked it so far, I have zero interest in even, it's like, okay, let's do this and get it done and over with so we can get to the more important stuff.
You know, I think what they should do is, I think, you know, and the WWE would be taking, it's not such a bold step anymore because they say, oh, you know, you're messing up pay-per-view buys, but now that's not such a big thing with the network. I think there shouldn't be any pay-per-views between the Rumble and WrestleMania. And you take your champion and your Royal Rumble winner and whoever they pick, and those two just kind of get to sit it out. They get to, you know, train almost like MMA fights. They get to do those little shoot interviews. You get to see them work out in the gym, you know, everything. Maybe they get to do contract signing and they get to touch or whatever like that. Maybe get to do like a weigh-in, but everything to make just build anticipation for that fight. They shouldn't be like AJ Styles defending against Shinsuke Nakamura. That's a big deal. The fact that he won the Royal Rumble, he gets the challenge for the title at WrestleMania. But it's like, how is that important when just a month before AJ defended against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? Just because it's WrestleMania, I guess, but a title shot is a title shot.
Well, I don't know that. I think it's maybe too long.
It's 2 months, right? 3 months. It's like the beginning of April.
Yeah, I think that might be a little too much time to have absolutely nothing. I just think that maybe, you know, if you're going to have your two, usually now what, we have two main events for WrestleMania now, right? Correct? So perhaps these pay-per-views in the middle should just be focusing more on mid-card.
Okay, yeah. The main event of those would be like the U.S. title situation.
Right, and it should be more focused on that.
Okay.
And let's build up that, and let's bring a little more attention to those titles, and, you know.
I like that.
Everybody wants to see, you know what I mean? Everybody's going to be tuning in to see AJ and Shinsuke, and who knows with what's going to happen with Asuka, you know. But, and actually, I like what they've done with that, how they, okay, well, she hasn't picked yet.
Right.
That's kind of keeping you suspended. Like, okay, I'm going to keep watching because I want to see who she does pick.
Absolutely.
I'm interested. You know what I mean? Like, it holds your attention a little bit longer. As much as I did pop when I heard, you know, as soon as Shinsuke, you know, said right after the match, I'm coming after AJ Styles. You know, I popped for it, as, you know, everybody else did, I'm sure. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so now we know that that's going to happen. So now it's like, okay, so now for 3 months, we're just going to sit here and go, okay, so now what?
Right.
You know, so you have him do that. Well, maybe we should try and focus more on mid-card stuff and try and build them up a little bit. Because even if you do and you switch the focus for this next pay-per-view to, say, the U.S. title, and you kind of put the focus on that, it's not going to make people care any less about AJ and Shinsuke. You've got that already.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's in the bag. You've got that sold.
You're right. All right,
I don't think it takes away from that main event.
No, not at all. Exactly. It's already sold. Once you made the sell, stop selling. So
right.
Now that you sold AJ Shinsuke just by announcing it, you don't have to really, you know, do too much. You don't have to stir the pot. You don't have to make them hate each other. People already want to see the match. It's already good. Now work on the other match. Work on the second main event. Work on this main event. Work on the U.S. title. Work on the pre-show. Because those need build. This doesn't need any more build.
Right, exactly. And you can overkill it, yeah.
All right, so let's talk some news. You know, we'll just do some rapid fire here. Okay, talked about Jason Jordan. He might miss WrestleMania. That is what it is. Tyler Bates from the UK. He's got some heat backstage because he didn't want to cancel his dates to work for the WWE. These guys in the UK got a really weird contract where they can work for the WWE and still do independent shows.
Okay.
But, yeah, apparently, you know, they asked him to cancel, and he was like, nah, man, I got these dates. And they were like, all right, well, we don't like you, nigga. You're going to be losing. So he's been losing. I can't imagine why that, you know, makes any difference. I can't imagine why that's news. These UK dudes are not getting utilized. They're not getting used. That's why they're working independent dates.
Right.
Rusev, happy Rusev Day, sells out of WWE merchandise, proving that Rusev Day is over like gangbusters. The greatest holiday, the second greatest holiday in my book. Fame Day is first, then it's Rusev Day. I'm pretty sure he stole that from me, but that's all right. I like Rusev Day. Yeah, man, he sold out of merchandise, so that's a good news. Usually when you sell out, Vince McMahon notices. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how the New Day got their four title reigns. Four title reigns. And, you know, John Cena's always been a good top seller. CM Punk, when he outsold John Cena, That's when he was the champion. So there's a lot to it when you sell. That just kind of shows how over you are. So that's good news for Rusev, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, Rusev Day, yeah. I mean, you can't. It's an amazing concept. It's so simple, but yet it catches on. Like, the WWE Universe, we like simple.
Right. It doesn't take much.
Like, a chance, you know, simple. We like simple.
All right, so this is my favorite piece of backstage news. On Booker T's podcast, Booker T got moved, he got replaced by the coach on commentary, and they moved Booker T to the pre-show and all that. And on Booker T's podcast, Booker T says, it's Corey Graves' fault that he got moved to the pre-show and all that because they thought, and I quote Booker T,
"They thought I was going to do something bad to him. They thought I was going to jump on him."
So I mean, the heat between Corey Graves and Booker goes on to say, "If I was to catch Corey Graves in the street, I'd beat him like he stole something. I'd beat him till he say, 'Please, please don't beat me no more.'" Which, from Booker T, if you know anything about Booker T and his history backstage, it may sound ridiculous. He may sound ridiculous, and he probably can't read well, but Booker T will whoop your monkey ass. What are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on this rivalry?
I would love to be a fly on the wall. you can even tell over, like, just listening to Corey Graves' commentary now, like, the jabs he takes, and you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like is he not, I have to wonder, is Vince in his ear being like, oh, slow it, you know, cool it down a little bit, like, you know, what else more is there to it? And where did it all start from? Did it all start with the whole, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard somewhere about it being, it starting because of a comment that Corey had made about criminals?
That's,
or people that have been in jail?
That's allegedly what I had heard. Which Booker T is a member of that club of people who've been in jail.
Right. But, I mean, that was a long time ago, and I don't, you know what I mean? Like, and if Corey said it, I don't think that, I don't know. See, I don't know. Corey, I have to believe that maybe Corey is a little bit of his character.
Right.
I can definitely see that.
Well, I would like to, I'd be disappointed to think that Booker T, of all people, would, you know, been in the wrestling business for 20 years, would just take something said at the commentary table in character, personal. I like to think that there'd be more than that.
Unless Corey said it and actually meant it, like he knew at the time, unless there had been heat beforehand, there could have been tension going on beforehand.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? There could have been stuff that was going on backstage or, you know, something like that, and he said it on, you know, at the table and, you know, in character, but, you know, at this, you know, Booker may have been like, I know that jab was towards me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's got to be something underlying, you know, that's going on, but, you know. I don't know what's going on with our commentators are just bullying people, I guess, now. I guess, you know.
Right. Like, I feel like once, you know, once the WWE had that, once they sat down every employee and put on the videotape of, "Hi, I'm Stephanie McMahon, and I'm going to talk about sexual harassment." And once they put on that tape, and once they realized that they can't do all this shit that wrestling, that they used to really be cool with in wrestling, like, you know, especially nowadays in today's society with the Me Too movement and things like that, defending old wrestling is very difficult. It's racist, it's sexist, it's terrible. But it's so good. Anyway. Yeah. So it's hard. It's so hard to defend that older stuff. But yeah, man. I forgot where I was going with the whole thing. Damn it. Nope, I lost it.
Yep. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. That's fine.
I don't know. I haven't really been paying too close attention to the backstage stuff. Heard a little bit about the Booker T stuff. And
oh, yeah, but
you know,
I who do you got? Like, I think that, you know, oh, right. What I was going to say, with all that stuff, these guys need a release. These guys, JBL's bullying people, and now, like, Booker T and Corey Graves are going to start. These guys, they haven't been able to do the stuff that they're used to doing. And but Booker T, like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Booker T, he beat up Batista in the fight backstage. Now, granted, Booker T was in a much younger man, but Booker T is in great shape. Like, he's in, like, I don't know if you've seen any, like, you know, his workout pictures he posts on Instagram or something. He's in, like, really good shape. And I think he could whoop Corey Rhodes. Corey Graves. I just think that Booker T has that old school whoop your ass mentality in general.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think, like,
I miss him on commentary. I'm telling you right now, coach is just, no, I'm like, get, no.
Well, here's my thing too. You got to have somebody who wrestles, you know. I understand Corey Graves used to wrestle, but, like, you got to have somebody who's been to WrestleMania, who's been in Elimination Chambers, Royal Rumbles. You know, you got to have somebody that says, this is what it feels like to be in there. You know what I mean? Whether it be Macho Man Randy Savage, Jerry the King Lawler, Taz.
A veteran, yeah. You need a veteran.
Right, Mick Foley. Just all these characters, these people that says, this is how that feels, or this is what they're doing in the ring. You know, Corey Graves was wrestling for, like, 6 years before he got retired, and that's very unfortunate, but he can't sell that to you. You know what I mean? He doesn't sell me that dream. Or, like, that's why they, like,
well,
they,
especially to the casuals.
Right. And then, you, I mean, you got, you, they do it, it's not even just a wrestling thing. I mean, they do it in sports. They got Charles Barkley, you got Shaq on the, you know, they got John Madden, you know. And then the old players commentate on the game. They're the best insight.
Right, because it's coming from experience.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
So I forgot to ask you in the beginning, is there anything that you wanted to rant about or give me your whole damn dollar about?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there nothing wrong this week? Because that's fine as well.
Nothing really particularly got under my skin, you know, this week. No. Nothing in particular got under my skin, believe it or not.
You know, but it's been a slow week in wrestling, which is good, because the last 2 weeks were a little bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, Kelly's dollar list for right now, which doesn't happen very often, so, enjoy it when it does happen.
Well, then tell the people where they can find you, and let's close up.
You can find me on Twitter. Queen Kells, that's KELLOZ 87.
You can find me at Fame Black, FameBlack, and you can listen to this Blue Zone and all Blue Zones like it, Red Zones, Green Zones, Purple Zones, all on the thewwpn.com. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
That was a good one.
Long overdue, but now buildings slamming. Boys to men, ABC, BBD. The East Coast family never skips the beat.
Nah,
while cooling on South Street. Black Benz, plenty of friends,
and all the Philly steaks you can eat.
Back in school, we used to dream about this every day.
Could it really happen?
Or do dreams just fade away? Yeah.
Then we started singing the days that it sounds smooth.
Then we started a groove, and here we are.
Yo, these four new jacks is real smooth on a homie tip. Nate, Mike, Sean, and one, you know the mentality. Keep flipping the gift.